I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this
is the Eshcast.
This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 565. This Doki Doki game is not necessarily okie dokie.
Electric Sisterhood, home of the best,
the fucking best
girl gaming tech gadget and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister,
and I'm Pandalicious.
Welcome to a brand new episode of our weekly podcast, Panda.
Hi, bro. What up?
What's going on?
Not too much.
How your week been?
My week's been good. It's been a very good week.
That's good.
We're in December now.
Yeah.
Like, it's the season. Like, it ain't I got the season
for me. I'm telling everybody right now, you get number love from it, honey. Because I'm living that hashtag broke life.
I see everybody on Facebook with their pictures decorated my tree. And I'm like, I have my Chinese Santa village, you know, like the little houses and stuff. My fake adoptive mom got me a Santa village house. But it's not a house, it's a Chinese restaurant, but it's red and green and it has pandas on it. So she bought it for me. And I was like, I couldn't be like, no, I'm not taking that because, you know, it was very thoughtful of her to even think of me.
That is so actually for you a very thoughtful gift.
It is. So, like, I'm like, since me and my husband don't put up stuff in our house, I'm like, this will be my tree. So it sits on my dining room table. It's the most festive thing in my house.
Yeah.
Ho, motherfuckers.
Everybody at work is like putting up stuff in their cubes and showing off how their trees and things like that. And they're like, oh, Ro, what about your decorations? I bet they're really nerdy. And I was like, yeah, I decorated my cube that I put my controllers on that I play games with more bills that I gotta pay. So,
like, yeah.
Merry Christmas! Ringing
the new year with more bills.
I mean, the citizens' bill is kind of festive because their color's green.
So there you go. And money's green.
And it's next to this overdue bill that's in a red envelope, so that counts, right? No, not so much? All right, I'll go back to the drawing board on that one.
Like, a lot of everyone's like, Panda, what are you going to do? What are you cooking for the holidays? Fucking nothing. Nothing. Like, our Christmas celebration.
I made 12 batches of mac and cheese. I ain't cooking another damn thing.
Like our Christmas thing, you mean hot mess and our signifs and whatever. Like, we're getting mac and cheese and collard greens. But don't nobody come to me and be like, hey, do you want to come to my party and bring shit?
With a batch of Hawaiian loaf.
It will be like, Do you want to come and bring stuff to this thing? I'm like, I will come and bring myself.
Yep.
And I'll bring some goodie bags to take some shit home. But I ain't cooking for nobody else. Yeah. I am done. Yeah. Done this year.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah. No, it was funny because I was in a similar situation. Not that I cooked as many times as you did.
Don't ever do it.
But everybody in my office is like, so, you're making a batch of that sweet potato casserole to bring in, right? And I'm like, why? We're not having a potluck. They're like, we could have a potluck. I'm like, no, because what will happen is all the little interns will go to the CVS or the
and get some fucking chips
and bring up chips and, you know, Tostitos dip. And I will have put in effort for this dish, it ain't gonna be no meat or anything to go with it. No, we're not having no potluck. Half the damn office is interns and they don't cook. I see how many times Uber Eats comes to the office every day for lunch. Come on now. Get out of here with that bullshit.
Get out of here.
So, anyway, no more cooking except for our Christmas. which we will not be doing a podcast that week because it's Christmas. In the meantime, in between time, ain't we got fun? Got some game stuff to talk with you guys about, some nerdy stuff as well. The Video Game Awards are happening this week, and we will have a show next week where
we talk about it
as our ritual, go through it together.
Oh,
yeah. And share it with you guys. Until then, the first thing that I want to talk about, and I have to talk about it, is the Avengers Infinity War trailer that came out. Panda, have you had a chance to see this yet?
No. Okay. Believe it or not, I have actively been trying to stay away from this because, I mean, like, I understand now, like, and I think every few years I have this epiphany where, like, everyone's like, Panda, you always spoil shit. And I'm like, nah, I don't care. But then one day I have this epiphany of, like, man, it really sucks when things get spoiled for you. When it happens to me, I'm like, no! No! You've now, like, crushed my whole life. And now I realize that I do this to billions of people all the time. Yeah. And, but I was staying away from it because everyone in my office, like, I'm probably the first one to, like, see a movie or, like, have thoughts on something. And I wait until people come to me to, like, talk about it. Like, I'm not, hey, guys, guess what I just saw?
That's
like,
I'm not,
like, I'm not being a dick. But everyone's like, have you seen the, like, I think people were trying to one-up me because they're like, I saw the Infinity trailer here. I saw it here. Panda, what did you think? And I'm like, I haven't watched it yet because, one, we've already kind of known Infinity War was coming up. I don't really need to see it because I'm going to see the movie. So, like, I don't want to get spoiled to anything. And, of course, everyone's like, well, when you want to talk about it, we can talk about it. I'm like, I don't want to talk about it.
I literally... So, my office is being redecorated, really, is the way to describe it. And we took down a bunch of walls and created an open space. And we mounted the... TV that was our review station, basically, to the main wall out in the open office space. So I sent around a meeting invite to my entire team for 2:30 the other day for us to literally stop work to throw the trailer up on the big screen and watch it as a group. And so my team was very caught off guard because, you know, I made the meeting invite sound really, you know, like, important. So I was like, regroup on the new tactics for this social campaign meeting. And I even, like, put in meeting notes, you know, I want Noel taking notes for this. And the key things that we want to come out of here with are at least the direction for the 15 posts we're going to make for this campaign. Right?
Right.
So, they're all ready for that. And I was like, yeah, actually, we're going to watch the Infinity Wars trailer. And they were like, what? And I was like, yeah, it's really easy to please people who are 22 and under. So we threw it up. We watched it as a group. We watched it a couple of times. Second time, one of my guys, such a dink, popped popcorn because we have bags of popcorn and popped popcorn for everybody so that we could watch it with popcorn the second time. But it was really interesting because of the reactions that everyone had because it's a very diverse group. Not just ethnic-wise, but also age-wise, and I would also say nerd-wise as well, because I've got creative nerds with writing nerds, so they nerd out in different ways. So it was really interesting to see, like, overlaps and non-overlaps. But for me, what was very interesting about the trailer is it doesn't really give too much away other than the team that is being assembled that you'll see. So it's really kind of cuts of, oh, damn, something's going wrong, and then a bunch of hero pans. So I would say that it's not a spoiler trailer. I'm sure that the subsequent trailers, that'll be a little bit more spoilerific, but it's not really a spoiler trailer because you see a shot of the Hulk, you see a shot of Widow, now blonde, not redheaded.
Oh.
Yeah, so Scarlett Johansson is her natural blonde and not redheaded. Which is a little weird, but, and hopefully they'll explain that, like, maybe she was working a mission or something, and that's why
probably
she's not looking like herself, which would make sense.
She had to go to Germany and look like a German, so we had to dye her hair blonde.
Probably one of those things is that at the time that they were taping, she was contractually obligated to keep her appearance for whatever other thing she was shooting at the time, because that does happen.
Oh, probably,
things overlap.
Yeah.
And so she couldn't change her hair.
Well, that's what happened with Chris Pratt for Guardians of the Galaxy, because he was filming that with the last season of Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
And, like, he had to be all buffed up, and, like, they had to kind of explain why all of a sudden Doughy Andy was, like, fucking ripped.
Yeah, exactly. Well, just like with the Justice League movie, you know, they had to digitally take out the mustache that Henry Cavill had, because he contractually had to keep it for the other movie he was shooting at the time. So that's another reason why Superman kind of looks dumb.
I mean, besides being Superman?
Yeah. Besides not being Brandon Routh. So anyway, in the trailer, it's basically the setup for, hey, something is desperately going wrong. That thing that is desperately going wrong is Thanos is like,
hey, you remember that guy directly. Thanos who's fucking shit up in the universes, the multiverses? Yeah, he's coming.
He's now coming to actually fuck shit up in this verse. So in person.
We got to be ready. Go get the Vaseline.
You see Vision. You see Tony Stark. You see Spider-Man. In a very interesting shot, you see the Hulk, you see Thor, you see Loki handing over the Tesseract.
Oh, because
he's handing it to, but you see him handing it off to somebody. And in looking at the Infinity Wars trailer, what my fear is that there'll be too much of a buildup for the cameos for the characters that we haven't seen in a while. You know, because they alluded to Cap getting back in the swing of things, because, you know, the world's falling apart.
I mean, he kind of went off to have his romantic tryst with the Winter Soldier, which, hey, can't blame the man.
Yeah, and you see Bucky.
Hell yeah!
In the trailer.
There's my husbando right there.
But that's what I'm getting, is, like, I feel like the trailer kind of set me up for, so, here are the people that you're going to see in this movie, and it's really important that you notice that we got Black Panther, and here's Captain America. You thought he was gone after Civil War, but hey, he's still about keeping things kosher for the people. And look, Bucky's shooting at stuff, and ooh, Tony Stark is back, hey! And I'm just like...
It's like the reunion. It's like Romy and Michelle's high school reunion, except they're all Avengers. Yes,
that's what it kind of felt like. And so I'm just like, if your lead off trailer is reminding me that you have these characters in your universe and they're coming back and I should be excited about that as opposed to them fighting Thanos, that's a problem. Next problem that I have with the trailer, which a lot of people have been noting, is that it kind of ends with this clip of Thanos having two of the stones in the gauntlet, right?
Right, but wait a minute.
He's going to get them. One of them is the Tesseract one, so he's got the blue one and the purple one in the gauntlet.
Okay.
So somehow, either at some point in this movie or at the end of the movie, I'm going to guess at some point in the movie, he has two of the stones in the glove. Which, you need to lose some stones and have them in the glove so you can have some conflict, because, you know, we gotta go through, like, 2-3 of these movies.
Right.
So, he's gotta get some of the stones, and you guys gotta get some of the stones back, and then there's gotta be the ultimate fear, because he gets, like, 4 of them, but not the 5th one. And so then the big battle is keeping him from getting the 5th one, or he gets close to getting the 5th one, and somehow
Do we know if they're gonna, are they gonna possibly set it up so that, you know,
you have to use a Care Bear stare.
Or, like, Thanos. The one that they're fighting is the one he's trying to keep from getting is the one that is keeping Vision's corporeal form?
Well, there's already allusion to Thanos trying to take Vision's stone, and it's just a quick shot of a very now human-looking Vision.
Oh, shit!
Yeah, so he's flesh-toned.
Oh, Paul Bettany! Paul Bettany!
Yes. So Paul Bettany looking like Paul Bettany with just a glowing gold stone in the middle of his head.
Ooh, oh.
Yeah, okay. So the weird coloring that he had.
Oh, so he got, like, vampired a little bit and lost some of his abilities.
So I don't know, like, if they're just like, you know, hey, we're putting way too much into the makeup budget, so Paul, you could just look like you in this movie. Scarlett, you don't have to dye your hair, because keeping that red is, like, crazy. You could just be blonde in this movie. Like, I feel like they were like, we gotta put more on this CG stuff, so we're gonna take some money out of the physical makeup budget.
Like, every time Thanos is on screen, like, it eats up a big chunk of our budget.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, I'm only half joking about this, because one of the things that a lot of people have made note of, and even started making memes of, is Thanos' shade of purple is different than we've seen him before. So in the older movies, you know how he's kind of that muted light plum color?
Yeah.
For some reason, he's more fuchsia now. Like, fuchsia.
I mean, life change, the things in your body change. Like, maybe he's just going through some Thanos-y changes.
I just think that, like, you know, before, when they were just rendering, like, a couple of sentences and he was sitting in the darkness of space.
Right.
They were able to render him in one way.
So, like, maybe
now he's
space,
like,
he looks different.
Now he's out in the sun, like, in Venice Beach. Maybe our sun affects him differently, but he definitely looks different.
Well, I mean, they've had enough years to try to figure out what he was going to be. So, I mean, you know.
But here's the thing. And, you know, people have long memories. Like, if you show it to me one way, I expect the character to look like that in the other movies. Like, your CG was working. So, I don't know if they're going to, like, try to actually address it or explain it away or whatever. Like, I've been explaining it to people. Like, well, you know, when you're sitting in the darkness of space, absence of light, you know, you can look one color versus when you're out underneath, you know, a yellow sun. The yellow sun could affect, like, you differently. Look at Superman. Superman wasn't Superman when he was on Krypton, because, you know, he red sun didn't do shit for anybody. But a yellow sun, oh man, makes him Superman. So, you know, yellow sun, it affects every you know, being differently. But I'm like, having this is a legit conversation with people as to why Thanos isn't as purple as he was before, and it's now kind of pinkish. So those are the things that, like, I took away from the trailer. Let me be very clear. I am definitely going to see this movie in the theaters when it comes out. I am probably going to try and see it in the 4K IMAX experience. So that's the one that has the motion stuff.
Okay.
Because I think that would be fun. Plus, I saw Guardians that way, Guardians 2, and I really liked it. I just feel that it adds a little bit more to the action-adventure experience, and if I'm already paying $20 for an IMAX ticket, I might as well get, you know, jostled around a bit for it, too.
That's true.
Make no bones about it. I'm not hating on the trailer, but there's definitely some things where I was like, just, meh. I'm gonna see it. Meh. Trailer's out. Cool. Versus, cool. Like, the first time I saw the first Guardians trailer, I was, like, foaming at the mouth excited. And I was foaming at the mouth excited for Black Panther.
I mean, you still are. I can see some bubbles in the corner of your mouth right now.
I still am.
I'm super excited for that.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I think that's kind of, like, where I'm sitting right now. I'm super excited for Black Panther. I'm not super excited for Infinity War. I'm excited for Infinity War.
What about Star Wars? It's coming.
I'm excited for Star Wars. I'm not, like, foaming at the mouth excited for Star Wars. But I'm excited for Star Wars. And I think that that's a good thing, because that's how I felt about the last two movies. And when I came out of them, I was so hyped and I appreciated them so much that I became foaming at the mouth after actually watching the movie. But I have also done my damnedest to not watch any of the trailers for that movie so that I could enjoy it. Because I find that the Star Wars trailers do end up taking a little bit of the magic away from me from the experience when I watch the movies in the theater. Because I fucked up and watched Force Awakens trailer. And then I went into the movie and I enjoyed the movie, but, like, for Rogue One, because I didn't watch any of the trailers or any of, like, the making of stuff, when I went into that movie, I enjoyed it 10 times more because everything was fresh for me. So I'm doing the same thing with Last Jedi.
Okay.
But I have tickets to see it opening day. Yep, I'm actually leaving work early.
We are seeing it on a Monday at like 7, right after work. Yay us.
Yep. But yeah. So that's all I have to say about that trailer. The only other thing that I have really to put on the table is, you know, I had alluded to this a little bit on our last episode, but the loot box situation in gaming is becoming a much bigger deal. There, you know, is a movement to actually get it declared and classified as gambling, which in all essence it is, as has been implemented in many games of late. And in addition, you know, one of my favorite games that I enjoy playing online, Destiny 2, has been in the news for the last week. The Bungie team, really, because of some things that were discovered and became a Reddit thread that went viral. So have you heard about the stuff going on with XP in Destiny 2?
No.
Okay.
And I haven't played Destiny 2 since we finished the campaign.
Yeah. Well, we should definitely play some more together, because I haven't played Destiny 2 since we finished your campaign. Because Assassin's Creed Origin has taken my life. In a good way. A good way.
Thank you for clarifying that. Am I doing this podcast with a ghost?
In an unexpectedly good way, Assassin's Creed Origin has taken my life. Basically, the deal was that some people who were playing the game had noticed, as they were working on alternate characters and also playing some other modes, that they did not seem to be earning XP, especially once they got into, you know, endgame plus area, at the same rate that they had been earning it on their initial characters or at other times. And they were actually able to document it and show that, like, same activities on their first characters were earning, you know, chunks of XP at, like, you know, a third of the bar or a sixth of the bar that exists on your heads-up display showing you how much XP you're earning was greatly diminished upon secondary or third character roles for the same profile. And what's important about that is, you know, I joked about how, you know, you sneeze in Assassin's Creed Origin and you get some XP. Is XP is one of the ways that you earn bright engrams.
Right.
As opposed to having to pay for them. Real dollars pay for them. And engrams are basically loot boxes that are filled with content based off of a random number generator. And the only way to get bright engrams is to either earn them through the XP bar building or to buy them with real currency, to buy silver with real currency in the game to then buy them. And again, they're all filled with content based off of random number generator. And it ranges from, you know, kind of throwaway items to those higher sought after legendary items. And what was discovered was that by basically diminishing the XP returns for same activities, you basically end up forcing the hand of people to buy those bright engrams because you're extending the amount of time that it takes for them to earn them the XP route.
Wow.
Okay. And so this basically came up This basically came out like right before Bungie was about to do their live stream where they announced the new expansion that was coming. Because the Osiris expansion is like right around the corner. And so what ended up happening as more and more people started doing the research themselves and putting it into practice and seeing if it was in fact true, and it was, Bungie actually canceled their live stream event.
Yeah, because they didn't want people like, what the fuck is this?
And then, you know, the PR machine went into you know,
overdrive. Full function.
Yeah, overdrive. I mean, pick 'em. Same thing. And Bungie came back, and their PR perfection that they are. Please note my sarcasm.
Yep, totally noted.
Basically said, yep, we looked at the system and XPE, it's not working the way that we expected it to. And, you know, we strive for transparency and all these things for our fans and for our community. And we're going to be focusing all of our post-game updates and the content that we add to the game to make sure that we support properly and make it blatantly clear, you know, the amount of XP that you will get and should expect from doing activities represents equally across the board so that it's just transparent. And I thought, wow, that's kind of bullshit. And so then they added that we, and I'm quoting them here, we want Destiny to be a game that fits into your life, providing you with reasons to log in and play with your friends, clans, and families. We want Destiny to be a world you want to be a part of. And so to do that, they're going to be putting out two big updates, one on December 5th and one on the 12th. They're going to be adding this thing called Masterwork Weapons, which is a tier above legendary weapons.
What?
Yep. And that these will have a chance to drop from any source of legendary weapons and will have special bonuses that are only found in Masterwork items, such as stat bonuses and kill counters.
I don't know how to feel about that.
Okay. Then, for, you know, everybody who was upset about shaders and them being one-time use and that being bullshit, because shaders drop from Bright Engrams, or you straight up buy them with real currency. You can earn some in Crucible, but I don't fucking play Crucible. They're adding what they're calling armor ornaments to some sets that allow you to change the look of your armor without losing your shader colors. So you won't be burning through shaders.
Okay.
Legendary shards and faction tokens you'll be able to use again to buy high-level armor and weapons. And, like, I like the idea of the masterclass weapons because legendaries are kind of a pain in the ass to always get a hold of.
Yes, I agree.
I don't know. I just felt like it was a non-apology apology.
Sorry, not sorry. Here's some shit.
Right. Like, I don't know. I just...
It doesn't feel right to me. Like, this is not seasoned well. This is not a nice cut of beef. It's like... Like, I'm gonna eat it, but, like, maybe you should just serve me something better and don't be surprised when I bitch when it's not. Like... I don't know how to feel about this. And I'm usually, like, down with Bungie. Yeah. Like, I get it. Times are hard. Everyone's just trying to make money. Trying to make a dollar out of 15 cents. I get it. But, like, come on.
I'm just like, ah. Oh, you're pushing it.
Yeah. Like, they're right on that line where I'm like, dude, there's some shit here. I can see it. I see my foot. It's, like, really close to the shit. I don't want to step in the shit.
Yeah. So, supposedly in January, they're going to push an update to the systems for the prestige stuff. So, the post-20 level cap game stuff that's supposed to even out the playing field. I don't know that.
I don't know if I believe that. Sorry.
Yeah, I don't know. about that.
Do you think now we're seeing behind the curtain, now we realize Oz is a man?
I don't necessarily think that it's behind the curtain. I just think that people are now becoming much more aware of, because of season pass content, because of, frankly, the loot box thing now being brought to the forefront because of Battlefront. Because I think Battlefront's thing was just a blatant cash grab. I don't feel that the Destiny stuff was a blatant cash grab because you could still earn it. And it seemed very clear on how you earned it. But the system basically being jerry-rigged to make it more difficult to earn it, to try and spur you to just want to buy it if you're, you know, bought in, that to me just feels a little bit worse, because at least with the Battlefront thing, it's like, hey, we didn't tell you you were going to have to buy these characters until you got the game, but once you got the game, we told you you were going to need to buy them, or you're going to have to play for a really, really, really long time to get them. With the Destiny thing, this system has existed since Destiny 1.
So who's to say they haven't been pulling this wool over our eyes since the first game?
Right. It's just that this time in the new game, because there are so many more people playing the game now, and there are so many people that are sticking with it after the 20 cap, because a lot of people left Destiny 1 after they hit the 20 cap because it took them so long to get the expansions out and to get the other things to do.
Right.
To make it worthwhile to play past the 20 cap, that unless you were playing player versus player, there wasn't much for you to do.
That's very true.
You know, with Destiny 2, it was just like, here's this entire world of shit. We learned our lesson. We have so many fucking things for you to do once you defeat Gaul. Like, there's just so much for you to do. And you can buy engrams, or you can, like, find bright dust, and you can find these things, and if you, you know...
They're all in the universe for you to find.
And everyone's like, yeah, I can earn this XP and get these bright engrams, because I'm not going to be dropping $20 a pop just so I can get, like, 10.
Right.
That are going to give me just a shit ton of shaders and gun mods, and every once in a while give me a modification for a legendary weapon that I don't have. Because I never got a legendary weapon from a bright engram, and I did buy some.
Like, I remember when we played, and I was like, I've never gotten a legendary engram from a bright engram, and then you're with me, and I turned it a bright engram,
and you popped
two. I got a mod for one, and you were like, are you fucking kidding me? And I'm like, I don't know. What?
You got one, and you got a mod from one.
And I was like,
because I wasn't the only person that was upset. Some random person in the tower started shooting your head. Because the notification with the two golds popped up and you got two, like, legendary things.
Doop, 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 doop.
And that guy felt the same way I did. Like, motherfucker.
Fucker. And here's this girl, like, this is my first time playing the whole game. How nice for me.
I haven't been to this tower ever. Let me go over here, because I have a legendary. Okay, and you're like, I'm just going to shut up now, because I was
There was no point. There was zero point at that point to say shit.
With the Bungie system, it's a little bit of the veil coming up, because it's actually seeing through people doing it on Reddit unequivocally the system being jerry-rigged to make it more difficult on the subsequent, you know, plus 20 roll. You're basically punishing your community for enjoying your game enough, because spinning up another character on that game is not time consuming. Okay?
No.
Like, the run to 20 takes a little bit. So when I spin up my second character and you make it more difficult on my second and on my third to build the XP...
We got the problem.
Like, that's some really bullshit. And that's not about we messed up and we weren't paying attention to the algorithm. Because I guarantee you that did not get through QA. Somebody saw it and went, hey, this actually happens on, you know, secondary and tertiary characters. We should probably do something about it.
Are we going to fix this? Yeah, we'll fix it if someone brings it up.
Exactly. And someone was marketing was like, look, if nobody notices, then this is better for us because people will play the game longer because they have to earn more XP. Like, I don't think it was a malicious thing of like, and that will mean that they'll get pissed off about having to wait so long before they get Bright Engrams that they'll probably buy them. I really do think that it was just somebody going, hey, if, you know, on the subsequent roles, it takes longer for the characters to get built up, either people will stick on their mains, or they'll just be playing the game longer, which is what we want, because we want them to have a deeper experience with us to get to those levels so that they can have their alts to run raid with. So, you know, it's just a good mechanic to make a sticky behavior. I can absolutely see somebody in marketing saying that, but it's wrong.
Right.
And somebody should have recognized that and went, no, it should take the same amount of time as it did to build up your first character. It should actually run faster because you should be familiar with what you need to do in the missions now. It should be faster to spin up an alt character, not longer. That's the right thing for the community. And they didn't do that. And I think that's why it feels more like a slap in the face to me on the Bungie side than it did in Battlefront. Because in all honesty, I didn't have drive to pick up Battlefront. So it was just a non-starter issue for me. But, you know, loot boxes have been around in games for a long period of time. Hell, it's a mechanic in Overwatch, but nobody bitches about the Overwatch ones because you can earn loot boxes real fucking easy in Overwatch. So you don't have to buy them. Like, I've never felt compelled to buy a loot box in Overwatch because I just wasn't going to get one. Like, you do good enough in some player matches, you're going to get a loot box. You level up enough, you're going to get some loot boxes. You're going to get them.
Boxes for everyone.
They drop like candy, which is how loot boxes should drop.
Should drop like that, dun-da-da?
It's a reward for a sticky behavior, and that's the way that it should be approached in a game, and not here's just a mechanic for us to get more money.
Touche. I agree.
So that's what I got.
Okay, so
it's on you, sis. What do you have?
I hope you're ready for this.
I don't know that I'm ever ready because, you know, like, whenever you say that, I'm not ready for what you're about to drop on me. The last time that you said that, really. You went into Higurashi, and I was not prepared.
So I love visual novels. I've talked about this several times. I love animes that are about visual novels when they're good, and I love to rip on them when they're bad. King's Game, to name a few, or just one, because it's really shitty. But there's
you're
a
just
game.
Not letting that King's Game thing
no,
go, man.
Because I just watched episode 9, and I'm like, what the fuck?
I guess I ought to catch up. I haven't watched it since, like,
it's
4.
So painful. Like, I feel like the
I keep going back and rewatching Ancient Magus Bride episodes because it's just so good.
Like, I keep going by another and I'm like, you were so good. You were wonderful. Higurashi, before you, was good. And apparently the people who made this were like, we really like those elements. Let's blend these together in a horrible shit show and not do a proper homage to these great things. But anyway, I'm not talking about those today. Today, I'm talking about a visual novel developed by, I think it was Team Salto, called Doki Doki Literature Club. And Doki Doki is like the sound that, like, the heart bumps, the heartbeat that girls get, like the flutter in your heart when, like, you're looking at something that you... Right. And, like, it's free on Steam. It got released on Steam in October. I think October 5th or 6th. I think 6th. It came out earlier in September for Microsoft Linux and Apple Mac OS. And pretty much it's your very standard, like, visual novel harem. The story follows a main character. He's a boy. That's you. Who is really reluctant about joining a club after school. He has a childhood, he has like a best friend, neighbor, Sayori, who's like, you should really join a club because you don't really talk to anybody but me. And like, that's really weird. And you should have friends. And like, you should have like this full school life experience. And like, finally, after nagging you for days, or rather nagging the character, and you can name your character whatever you want. So, like, he doesn't have a standard name like in anime. So, like, I'll call mine, I'll call him Steven, sure. So, Steven! So she's like, Steven, you should really, like, check out a club. And after, like, bugging Steven, Steven's like, fine, I'll, like, look at some clubs after school today. So, like, he's in his class ends, and he's looking at the board, and Sayori shows back up, and she's like, maybe you could come check out my club today and see, like, maybe my type of club would be what you would like. And you're like, well, what club is it? Because, like, you're not aware of what club she's in. And she's like, it's the literature club. We've got some pretty nice people in there, and, like, it's a really chill advice, but just come by. So you're like, fine, whatever, to get the plot going, I'll go. So you go, and you meet three other girls. You meet Yuri, who's got, like, beautiful purple hair and is really reserved. You've got Natsuki, who's kind of, like, assertive, and she's got, like, small boobies and is really assertive and, like, kind of sporty, but also kind of, like, I think she's kind of tsundere, if I had to put her in a box. And then you've got Monica, who's kind of, like, popular, athletic, and, like, it's surprising that she'd be in, like, a literature club because, like, she could have been in, like, any other club. And, like, your character knows her because last year you guys were in the same class together. So, like, it establishes that, you know, you have certain relationships with others than the others. Like, you have some experience, but not all. And so you spend the whole first day there, and they're all like, it's so great, we're going to have another club member. And it's like, I haven't actually said I'd be a part of this club. But, like, they all are, like, really cute and pretty, and you feel bad. So you're like, okay, fine, I'll be in a club. So, like, you spend a couple of days in this club, and very much you have to kind of figure out what girl you kind of want to hang out with. And it's really kind of funny because at first you don't realize it until you play several other runs of this game and you kind of get forced into doing that, and I'll explain what happens. But in the first run of this game, you only get the chance to talk to or spend time with Sayori, Yuri, or Natsuki. You are never given an opportunity to talk to Monica. So, like, it's kind of like, there's always, like, that one girl that maybe there's, like, some hidden achievos. Like, you have to talk to someone in a certain way before Monica unlocks or something like that. Or at least that's what the game wants you to kind of feel is happening. So, but Sayori's, like, madly in love with you. Kind of like in that shuffle anime I talked about with her, that Kayede chick who's, like, very much about being your bride until you decide she's not going to be your bride. And then she fucking goes nuts on you. But you find out in this first playthrough, like, Sayori is really pushing herself on you. And if you choose to talk to anybody else or spend any other time with any of the other girls, like, all of a sudden Sayori gets, like, really depressed and, like, starts not coming to school, or, like, comes to school late and she's, like, not fully, like, dressed up right, and, like, there's something wrong with her. And while you're in the literature club, you have to write poems. So, like, there's a little mini game where you have to, like, write poems, and you have 20 words that you have to, like, group together, and they all resonate with one of the three girls, because, like I said, Monica's not available in the first, like, run-through. So, like, there's, like, puppy, sunshine, depression, murder, and, like, as you're clicking these words, like, their little avatars will, like, fidget if it's a word that they respond to. And you start finding out that, you know, like, the Kyuri chick with the purple hair who's really reserved really likes macabre stuff. And, like, Natsuki, who's, like, very, like, tsundere, really likes cute, fluffy stuff, which kind of makes some sense because that's what tsunderes are about. But if you're really aiming to try to get with Sayori, you notice that she's kind of bipolar because she likes sunshine, but she also likes imbalance and broken and, you know, scars. And so, like, you have to be paying attention to the words that you're choosing. And as you're going through it, like, I think in the first run through that we did, I chose to spend it with Natsuki. And on, so there's, like, a festival coming up, and, like, the clubs all have to, like, make a event or something, like a sports day festival type thing.
Yep.
And you are figuring out what your literature club is going to do. So Monica's like, well, the weekend's coming up, and, like, the festival starts on Monday, so, Steven, you can go and choose who you're going to help work with over the weekend. And Sayori's like, I already have stuff and I don't need any help. So she runs off in her depressed state, and you can choose between Natsuki or Yuri. So I was choosing Natsuki, who happens to like to bake. So, like, she comes over to my house to make cupcakes. And, like, the day that she's showing up, my character's like, you know, I haven't seen Sayori in a couple of days. I should go over to her house and, like, see what's going on. And when you go there, like, she's sitting in a room in a corner, and she's just like, nothing feels right anymore. Like, I wish things were the same, and everyone cares about me, and I just wish I would fucking die. And, like, the text has changed, the audio's really weird, like, the game is kind of glitchy, and, like, it is unsettling. Like, it's completely not at all what the game, like, starts off.
So out of left field.
Like, right. All of a sudden, like, the game is acting weird. She is acting weird. The music's not acting right. Like, code is broken or being fucked with. Like, there's something wrong with the game. So you're just like, Sayori, like, we're still friends. Like, at this point, she declares that she loves you. And you're like, you have to decide if you're going to, like, say you love her or not. So, like, it really kind of depends on what you're doing.
Did
so,
you of course, say that you loved her back?
Well, like, she's my friend, but I wasn't feeling her like that, okay? Like, you're my best friend. Like, maybe in a year or two I might be outside, but, like, I don't see you like that. You're my sister. So I was like, I want to be here for you and support you, but, like, I don't feel for you that way.
Oh, and, she's like, going to kill herself.
Well, wait. So, like, she's just like, she's like, no, I get it. I totally get it. Like, and, like, all of a sudden her, like, demeanor completely changes and she's back to being, like, the character that you got at the beginning of the game. And she's like, well, I'm so glad that you came over to talk to me. Like, I do feel so much better. And maybe in a little bit I'll come over and help you and Natsuki with your cupcakes and stuff. So it's like, okay, great. So, like, I felt good about the conversation we have. And I leave and I wait for Natsuki and, like, we have some, like, doki doki moments in the kitchen with frosting and licking it off of fingers. This game has a thing about licking things off of fingers. Let me preface that right now that, like, in several altercations, fingers have gone into my character's mouth, whether willingly or not, and, like, some of them he's down for, and some of them he was clearly not. But anyway,
oh,
so, like,
Steven.
So, like, we're having these doki doki moments, and I'm like, all right, Natsuki, like, I know there's a tender heart down there, like, I get it. And, like, we go outside, and, like, she's about to, like, kiss me, and Sayori shows up, like, right when we're about to, like, lock it down. And I'm like, aw, shit. Here it comes. And of course, like, all of a sudden, Sayori's face is all, like, pained. And she's like, no, I needed to see that. I just needed to cement that in my mind. Like, I get it. Like, it's totally fine. And Natsuki's like, I gotta get fucking out of here. Like, this was fucking weird. And, like, she leaves. And I'm like, great. Leave the man to handle it. Fine. And, you know, and Sayori's like, no. She's like, this is really good. I wanted things to go back to the way I wanted. I just wanted you to have more friends. But why does it feel like my heart's just been ripped out of my chest? And, like, she's like, I just need to go to sleep. She's like, I'll come outside and we'll walk to class tomorrow. So I'm like, okay, sure. And, like, the next morning, like, I'm waiting outside and it's, like, taking too long. Like, too long. And, like, I don't get the option to go to her house. So I'm like, oh, maybe she already went to school. Maybe she was already up early. So, like, nope. I leave with these cupcakes to go to my literature club to help set up. And Monica, who, like I said, like, you talk to her, but you don't get the chance to choose to interact with her. And when she shows up, she's like, man, you really left Sayori hanging this morning. And, like, it's such a weird comment to say. And afterwards, I'm like, oh, shit. And, like, it gave you the choice then to, like, help set up or, like, go get Sayori. And I'm like, I'm gonna go get Sayori. And she's like, yeah, you should probably go find out what happened. I mean, yeah, you should totally see if she'll show up. You know, like, and it's weird. And then you, like, you leave and you go back to the house and you come through it and the house is all empty. Because, I mean, granted, it's, like, during the day. So, like, parents have gone to, like, work or whatever. And you go up to her room and sure enough, she done hung herself. She did.
Told you.
So you're like, and it's, like, jarring. Because, like, her room is all bright and happy. And, like, she's wearing the super happy shirt and, like, she just hanging. And I'm like, shit. And then, like, that's your first end. But then the game restarts itself without you doing anything. And you're like, what? What? Like, it doesn't, you know, most times, like, it's like bad end. Do you want to continue? But no, it just restarts the game. And the game gives you an option to go into all the files and stuff. Like, you can go into all of its, like, Cody stuff. I wish I knew the right words for it. And sure enough, you go into the characters file, you see Sayori's character file has been deleted. And it's not even, like, inactive. It's just gone, which is weird. And as you're doing things in the game is manipulating itself as if something on the inside is tinkering with it. So at one point, after you've done this, if you go back into the files, you'll see, like, a happy thoughts PNG. And it's a picture, like a child picture of Sayori hanging in her bedroom, which is kind of disturbing. And So you end up going back to school, and like the whole day starts again. And like now in the beginning, when you would have met Sayori, like it just fast forwards until you're in school. So like the game is trying to make you forget that Sayori even existed, which is kind of weird. And then instead of bumping into Sayori talking about clubs, you bump into Monica, who's like, yeah, I'm trying to get this club off but I only got two members and I need another member for us to be like official. And like, because she's the most popular girl. And that was the conversation
that Sayori told you that she had had when she joined the
club. That's right. So, like, but Monica's like, and I need one more member and all this stuff. And, like, I don't know what to do. And, like, you're a guy and she's the most popular girl. So you're like, I'll come check out your club. And she's like, really? Like, no pressure or anything, but, like, I would really love for you, like, to come by. And, like, once again, now Yuri and Natsuki, they don't remember you. So, like, it's starting a whole new game. Like, it started over. And you're meeting them all over again. And at the end of it, like, Monica's like, I really would love for you to join this club. Like, I think it'd be really great for you because it doesn't seem like you have any friends. And, like it's really kind of weird. And, of course, you, like, join the club. And once again, you're back in that room and you're making poems with each other. And, like, you can gear your poems towards whichever girl you want to have, like, a romantic investment with. But once again, you are not allowed to interact with Monica in a romantic way. Like, she's kind of like a narrator. She's like the tutorial. She brings you in, but, like, you can never get her.
Or she's the figure that is manipulating everything.
Maybe. Actually, I mean, you kind of booped that on the nose. So I'm going to fast forward a little bit because, like, there are elements of psychological... Like,
I haven't even played this game, and I'm like...
There's a lot of psychological horror going on in this game, and, like, there are some moments that are definitely creepy and offsetting. There's not that much blood. I mean, there's one route that gets kind of red in, like, a Kill Bill sort of way, but only for one scene. But
it's only, like, one scene. You can survive.
But there's a lot of breaking of the fourth wall with Monica. So, like you said, like, Monica is sentient, and she can see the player through the Game Boy, the guy vessel that you are playing in. Mm-hmm. So, like, she can see the outside world, and she wants to get out. So you've kind of got, like, this weird Ex Machina, Metropolis kind of situation with, like, this AI who is more aware and wants to no longer be, like, Monica's aware that she's in a game, and she realizes that these girls that are all designed to fall in love with you are, like, mindless, and, like, she's fed up with it and she wants out. And she thinks you're the way to get out. So, like, she's obsessed with you. So, but the game is constructed in a way where, like, you cannot pursue her romantically. So she's trying to find ways to create a route for her because there isn't one. So she thought, oh, if I got rid of Sayori, maybe then the game would be like, oh, well, we need three eligible girls, and now there's only three in here, so now they would unlock Monica, and it doesn't. So, once again, because you can't talk to her outside of, like, the traditional getting into the club and all that stuff, you're forced to talk to Natsuki or Yuri. So she starts messing around with their character files and starts making them more and more unlikable. So, like, you've got Yuri, who's very sophisticated and kind of highbrow, and you find out she's a cutter, and she has a collection of knives, which she loves to talk to you about. And, like, the more you hang out with her, the more obsessed with you she gets. And when she gets really, really, really excited, she has to play with her knives.
Oh, you know, that's Lord.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, at one point, like, the game gives you a choice to, like, Monica's like, you really should stop hanging out with her. You're, like, really enabling her really bad tendencies. Like, when she gets really excited, she, like, finds a corner and literally, like, stabs herself in her hands. That's why she never rolls up her sleeves. Haven't you ever noticed that before? Like, we were doing some really hard work the other day, and, like, she wouldn't roll up her sleeves. I wonder why she wouldn't do that. Like, she was being so snaky and salty. Like she's obviously watching, and she's very aware of everything else that's happening in the game because she's manipulating it. So, you know, but of course at one point, like, you have the choice where you could, like, delete Yuri's character file or you don't. And when you don't, Yuri's just like, fuck everybody. Sorry for my language, but she's just like, I want to be super best friends with Steven, so everybody else needs to leave the room. We're going to read books together on the floor and eat tea. And, like, it's really intense. Like, it's really intense. And sure enough, like, she confesses to you, and you have to decide if you're going to accept her confession or not. And sure enough, it doesn't particularly matter which way you... whichever way you choose, because if you say no, she starts to laugh maniacally, her sprite begins to twitch, and she takes out a giant knife, and she literally, like, seppukus herself right in front of you, like, stabs her gut, stabs her heart, and, like, dies in the classroom over the weekend, and, like, instead of, like, resetting you back to your room at the end of the day, your character's kind of stuck, so you literally, for 48 hours, watch her body decay.
That's nice.
Yeah.
And that's then, how, like, I want to spend a weekend.
Oh, yeah. And, like, and then Natsuki shows up on Monday with her cupcakes because it's the day of the festival. And, like, she's like, oh, my God, what happened? And, like, she reacts to seeing Yuri dead on the floor, and she throws up and she runs away. And then Monica shows up, and she's like, I'm so sorry I'm late. Oh. Oh. Looks at dead Yuri on the floor. Well, that's unfortunate. Wait, have you been here this whole time? Oh, the script isn't working anymore. Let me fix that for you. And, like, she's manipulating stuff. So then at that point, she deletes Yuri and Natsuki's character so that it's just Monica. And, like, she does some really fucked up shit in this game. But I like how meta it is, because here is this game that is set up to look like your very standard run-of-the-mill visual novel harem anime type deal. And here it is subverting the expectation and, you know, making you kind of think more about these characters on a more intricate level. Like, because, you know, sometimes you play these games where you're like, I want to get all the girls. I'm going to get all the routes. And you don't think about, like, how it impacts other characters, because in most games, like, yeah, there might be one person who's upset that you chose the blonde one over the blue-haired one. But, like, outside of, like, the games that have been really pushing the boundaries of, like, how freaky can a game get, you never really think about the psychological impact. Well,
there's no strong
consequence unless it's built into the game already.
Right, because, like, once you set a route, it's not like every other girl that you were talking to up until that point doesn't interact with you anymore. In most games, they do. It's just they don't do it in a necessarily romantic way once you...
Right,
you
know, at that point when you've decided. Once you've
hit the point of no return on a route.
Right, but in this game, like, I like the fact that, like, you're still talking, like, and the game really does force you... To, like, at one point, like, depending on how much you've been bouncing between the other two, because, like, if you stay on one person's route, then, like, you'll get the definitive end for that. But people have been playing around with, like, doing one day with Yuri and then doing one day with Natsuki and, like, bouncing between them to see how the game would react to that. And, like, it really, this team, which I think was led by this guy, Salvato, and I think it's, like, it's a really small team who did this. And it is really... Like, it's very meta, it's very extreme, and, like, it was definitely unsettling, but I wouldn't say scary, per se, but, well, definitely some jump cut, like, there's one really good jump cut, like, jump scare in there that I wasn't even anticipating, and the fact that they set up all this tension through the game being, you know, broken, and, I mean, you on the outside could also be manipulating the game, too. Like, they don't let you know how much power you actually have in it until the very end when you're just alone with Monica. And she's like, yeah. Like, it was so easy to get rid of everybody else. I just had to go to the character page and, like, get rid of their character files. Like, you could even do that to me. Not that I suggest that you do it, but you could. And then, of course, it's like, okay, you just told me how to kill you. Do you really want me to do that? And sure enough, like, obviously to get the main ending of the game, you have to do that. And the really interesting thing about that is once you do, like, the whole game gets reset with everybody but Monica. Like, she deletes herself and brings Sayori back. And then the game starts like any other normal game until the end of your first day and you're talking to Sayori. And then Sayori's like, yeah. Like, today was really fun. I'm so glad that everything worked out. Also, I'm really glad you deleted Monica. She was a bitch. And then you're like, uh-oh. She's like, yeah, I know everything. And I think it's because when you're the president of the literature club, you just get knowledge that you just shouldn't have. But now it's just you and me, because Natsuki and Yuri don't exist anymore, and Monica can't touch us now, and, like, she traps you. And then Monica, you know, her bits of her code are still in the game, and she's like, I'm not letting this happen, and she completely deletes the game. And as the end credits are happening, Monica is literally deleting the game to the point where if you wanted it back, you'd have to reinstall it. Like, it was such an experience. And, like,
it... So that's really freaky. And it's really funny that you picked this game to talk about, because I just started to watch Jacksepticeye play this game.
Oh my god, watch him play it! Watch him play it!
And he had done, like, an hour-long stream, and I was just like, okay, so it's another night novel and harem game. And at the same time that he started playing it, two other streamers that I watch also started playing it. So I'm like, wow, this game must be really popular. So I think it's really interesting that you note that it's, you know, free. That's probably one of the things that's speaking to it, you know, getting some light now. And especially because it came out in October, it's really interesting to see, you know, three of my favorite streamers that I enjoy watching, you know, just now starting to play it. And none of them have gotten to the point where the festival starts happening. Jack, just in his second stream, got to the conversation with Sayori in her room talking about helping Monica over the internet and going to her thing. And he picked being her friend, and he was like, I feel really bad now because, like, she wasn't even on my radar as somebody to go after. And so, like, of course, for me, that sent up a whole bunch of, like, flags. And I'm like, okay, well, obviously, since she's battling with depression, and I've now told this person who I'm aware is in love with me that I'm not in love with them as a person who you know, has dealt with depression, I'm like, so she's about to kill herself. Like, that's what's about to happen. Especially because in his game, he was leaving to go back because he had paired up with Yuri. So he was at the end.
Waiting for Yuri to show up to do decorations.
And Yuri was already there at the house waiting for him. And so that's where his stream ends. So he was just about to go into doing
Believe stuff it or not, with Yuri at the house. So it doesn't, it actually doesn't matter what you say to her.
Yes.
Because at the point where she starts exhibiting these signs of her depression, which I guess if Monica hadn't been tampering with her character file, like, it's part of her arc. So, like, we would have gotten tidbits of her being, like, having this depression or being bipolar in the game, but because Monica is heightening all the negative attributes of each of the girls, like, she just kind of goes off the rails a bit. But no matter what you do, because at this point Monica's kind of corrupted her, even if you choose her, she still kills herself.
Of course she does.
So that tilt still always happens. However, after you've completed the game and you realize that you actually have more power in it, if you decide to go and reinstall it, like, people have gone in and deleted Monica from the start, and that actually gives you a totally different ending. There is another point in the game where, like, Monica's like, you should just delete Yuri's character now before things get really weird. And, like, there's, like, a 2-minute pause between when Yuri leaves the room to go get, like, water for tea and when Monica says this. So the game is giving you time to do this thing, whereas you could choose to side with Monica and get rid of Yuri or not. And I haven't seen, since we've run through it, I've tried to see what other people are doing with the game. Because, like, after this experience, I was like, I can't go in there. I'm like, I got out. Like, I got out. So I'm done. But I'm just curious about, like, what happens if you did that. Or, like I said, like, when Yuri is all crazy and she confesses to you, like, everyone that I've seen after I said no to her, everyone else also kind of said no to her, and, like, she dies. And I'm like, I'm wondering if it's very similar that even if you had said yes to her, like, she would have been, like, so hyped up on, you know, you saying yes that she also would kill herself. So, like, and then they don't really do much with Natsuki because, I mean, I don't think, I think by the time the third or fourth iteration of the game happens, like, very much like Monica in the beginning, they kind of make it so that you don't really get a chance to interact with Natsuki anymore. So, like, she kind of gets, like, pushed to the sidelines. But I think the game, it's free on Steam right now. I think it's just free because I think this was more of a social experiment mm-hmm. that this team decided, you know, to facilitate and made it accessible via game. Because, like, it's really funny how you really don't have, and that's the whole point of this game, is that you don't have choice. Like, you don't have a lot of choice in this game. Outside of the first interaction, like the first set of the days that you get, those are, I think, are the most choice that you get in the game, because then after that, Monica is in control. And she is really forcing you...
Your hand.
To... Yeah. In all of it. And at one point when she's like, the very last iteration, where she's like, all right, well, it's right before the festival and Steven needs to choose who he's going to help. And like, in our game, what happened is as soon as like I got all three of their names and Monica was in there, I went to go like click Yuri and my mouse kept moving down to Monica. So like literally you do not have a choice. Like it is not about choice at this point. But it's really, like, it's definitely an experience to, if you have the stomach for it, because, like I said, there are some unsettling things that happen in it that could, if you're very sensitive to disturbed material, might not be something you should play. But you could totally watch somebody play it. I know Septicai is playing it. I know MatPat did a live stream on Game Theory Live. He went through it. Manly Badass Hero also did a walkthrough in it, but he was doing all the routes in his chunks, so you don't get a strong cohesive story because he's just doing all of it. So yeah, I would totally suggest people who have the stomach and the mindset for it
and are not
small children to experience this. Like it's a really interesting concept, and I think now moving forward into any visual novels that I jump into that have a romantic aspect, like I think I'm gonna be a little bit more, you know, careful about, you know, one game being solely this person's route and not playing around, because, you know, now that we know that, you know, there are game developers out there that want to mess with the player,
that and this just reeks of Kojima. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, because Kojima did it in, I think, one of his Metal Gear Solids with one of his bad guys, I think Praying Mantis. When you're fighting Praying Mantis, he starts saying things to you, the player, you know, that have nothing to do with Solid Snake at all. Like, oh, I see that you like, you know, Resident Evil games. And it's like, how would this character... Snake doesn't like that, and it's reading your save files.
Yeah.
So, like, this is such an interesting element to see someone, you know, to see in games. Because we saw inklings of it before, and now we're seeing it kind of more matured because it's been kind of in the back of, like, the mental burner for, like, ever in a day. So, like, I would love to see more. Like, I hope Doki Doki Literature Club is not the last of its kind, and I hope we see more in the Doki Doki series. Like, I kind of hope they expand on this some, and we get more of this. Maybe Doki Doki Drama Club, where it's like a murder mystery, or Doki Doki, like, running club, or, like, Doki Doki Killer Game, or whatever. Like, I'm really curious about...
You just want a Danganronpa Doki Doki.
Oh, my God. Doki Doki Danganronpa. Like,
Danganronpa Doki Doki?
Like... It's so, like, it's such an interesting concept.
I agree. You know, there have been a couple of games recently on Steam that have done that, where they've been actually messing with the files for the game on the system that changes the game.
There's one shot where there's a cute little cat person, and they have to bring this light bulb that will be the sun for this world, and you have to help navigate them to it. And the cat person is, like, manipulating your files to you on the outside. And, like, not in a bad way, but, like, that's... But I like that they're doing this, because, one, if you're ever curious about games or coding or any or programming or stuff like that, like, this is a great way for games to be like, hey, like... Here's your little splash in the kiddie pool with,
see,
like...
I would fuck up with this so much, like, since I can go in and mess with the game files, like, and delete characters and profiles and whatnot, I would fuck around and, like, rename characters so that you can't pick Monica. I would rename
Well, you actually can't. So, I mean, like, it would be kind of, like, I don't think anyone's gone that far particularly, but, like...
See, that's the first place I would go. I'd be like, oh, okay, so I can go...
Well, you wouldn't know. You wouldn't know, because it's not until you go through the whole first game where she's like, yeah, it was super easy to get rid of everybody.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, at the point where they break it out and they tell me that I can fuck with these files... And, you know, I can, you know, delete files and whatnot. Like, since I know that at that point, I could go in and rename Monica and I could rename everybody. And in simply renaming everyone, does that throw everything off?
I don't know, but it'd be an interesting thing to find out.
You know, like, and so, like, I'm going to put this on my computer. And now knowing what I know, I'm actually going to duplicate Sayori's files.
Like, that's what I'm curious about, because after she died, like, I wonder if you can put her back in there. And if, one, the game is smart enough or has been programmed to be like, oh, if player does this, have this unlock and do this. Like, it's so trippy. Like, and it's so anticipatory, if that's even a word. And if it isn't, it should be. But it's free, so there's really no excuse. Even after playing it, it practically deletes and uninstalls itself, so it's not like it's going to hinder your storage. And, I mean, I think it says a lot about the visual novel genre. And it says a lot about human interaction on top of that, and free will and choice and sentience. So check it out if you haven't already. But like I said, if you're not mentally strong enough, you can find a bunch of people on YouTube who are playing it. So you could pick a friend and watch it.
Yeah, like I'm definitely going to watch everybody who's been playing this all the way through. But I am going to get the game because you said it works on Mac.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. So I'm going to get the game, and before I even launch it, I'm going to look at the character files, and I'm going to make a duplicate of Sayori's files and put it on my desktop and get to the point where Monica removes Sayori from the game, and at that point, I'm going to stop the game, and I'm going to put Sayori back and see what happens, so I'll let you know.
I'm honestly going to tell you that as you're going through the game, like, have the files, the property files and all that stuff up, and constantly refresh them, because things get added and moved and all of that, and you, like, there's a whole lot of things I didn't even talk about that start happening in those files, because, like, they're just things you should experience on your own. But definitely check it out, and if you have the willpower, play it. Like, it should not, and I'm going to put emphasis on this. It should not horribly trigger or make you uncomfortable. But if it does in any way, stop, clearly. Like, I'm not trying to hurt anybody emotionally or anything like that, or mentally. So, like, if this is unsettling in any way to you, do not engage with it. But if you're curious about it, then try it.
All right, well, I think that's a perfect place to end this week's episode. If you enjoy it, then make sure that you subscribe to our podcast. You can do that either by going to our website and checking out new episodes every week when we put them out, as well as some of the other great articles that we write about on our site, electricsisterhood.com. Links are right on the homepage if you want to subscribe to the podcast in iTunes, either via the desktop app or through the podcast app on your iOS application. You can also get our podcast through Google Play, Stitcher Radio, VogNetwork.com, and a bunch of other aggregators that carry a bunch of podcasts. So however you want to listen to us each week, just make sure that you subscribe so you can get brand new episodes the moment we put them out on the web and enjoy them. If you do enjoy the podcast, please help us spread the word. Hit us up on social and share us, pimp us out to your friends. We are on Instagram, chunking out all kinds of great content all day long, including some really fun video quotes that you should definitely check out. At ESH News on Instagram. We're also at ESH News on Twitter, and we put out a bunch of articles, both stuff that we wrote as well as things that we're reading that we think are really cool around industry news. So make sure that you check that out by subscribing to us on Twitter. And again, like I said, pimp us to your friends. Get those words out there. Like, comment, subscribe, all that good stuff. Please, please, please. We don't want to be the best kept secret on the internet anymore. You can also hit us up on our Facebook page, facebook.com/theendofesh, and message us if there's something that you think that we should check out or play or that you'd like to hear about on the podcast. Be sure to just hit us up and let us know. And if we follow up on your recommendation, we'll give you a shout out here on the cast as well. So just make sure that you do those things because it's really helpful for us to get the word out and help more people discover that which is the Ashcast. If you enjoy our show and if you enjoy the great things that we write about on our website, then make sure that not only do you bookmark our site, but you check out some of the other great site and content that the entire Ish team is making. That includes the No Borders, No Race podcast hosted by our own KBD over at b3crew.com. Bookmark that site because he and team are talking about anime, manga, indie music, video games, you name it. It's nerdy. KBD is talking about it at some point in time over at b3crew.com. So make sure that you subscribe to his podcast, also available on iTunes, and bookmark that site. Our homie, Ben Hamsterman, 2049, streams all different kinds of games every Wednesday night at 9 Eastern on Twitch. You can hit up our Facebook page to get the link earlier in the day, but definitely make sure that you check him out, join him in stream, because he plays a lot of fun stuff. I still enjoyed watching him play Psychonauts back in the day. So make sure that you check out his streams because they are really a fun time and can be, you know, nice to nostalgically look back at some of your fun games on older systems as well as the new stuff that's out. Our homie, the man, the myth, the legend, Phil the Issues Guy with Phil's Recap and Review, my favorite recap show on YouTube. I love, love, love his recaps. You will too. And you can call in or be part of the recaps live in chat. Make sure that you check him out, Phil's Recap and Review on YouTube, and visit his site, issuesprogram.com, to check out his archive of previous shows as well as some of his editorials on things. They are hilarious, but also educational. They're infotainment for your ears and your eyes. And last but certainly not least, keeping you up to date with all the stuff that nerds crave, our homies over at nerdcrave.com. Talking about comics, talking about cosplay, talking about anime, talking about games, talking about just nerdy ass stuff. So make sure that you bookmark all of our sites, check us out on social, follow us, comment and like and subscribe to our video channels. We are on YouTube, electricsisterhood.com. Shouldn't be a surprise. We've got unboxings there. We've got, you know, Let's Play videos. There's more to come as well. And if there's something that you'd like to see us do, you can send us a message and tell us, hey, you guys ought to do blah, blah, blah. And maybe we'll blah, blah, blah. Who knows? Anything could happen. As always, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And until next time,
titties.